Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America on IMSA Radio. On IMSA Radio.
There may not be a more beautiful part of the United States than the Monterey Bay Peninsula of California. Absolutely gorgeous. Seaside scapes, hills, green, beautiful lush trees, and also one of the most iconic permanent road courses, I should say, in the United States. That's WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. It has had several iterations since its beginning, but the one thing that has been here since the beginning, the world-famous corkscrew, a five-level drop from the top of the hill down to the racetrack. We talked about just inward from Monterey, California, the Monterey Bay Peninsula, sits this racetrack. Absolutely beautiful. Andretti hairpin, Rahal straight, the corkscrew. And what a challenge it is for everyone who comes here. Turn two, the Andretti hairpin, some good outbreaking there. The climbing turn six leads you up the hill to the corkscrew. Then that drop, that massive drop, five stories back through turns 9, 10, heavy braking for turn 11, and you have completed a lap here at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. 40 Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracans about to attack this racetrack. Yep, that's right. Stand back, everyone, including the wildlife, because we are about to come at you. Brian Till, along with Jeremy Shaw, we've got the action for you today, and there will be plenty of it. A record field, Jeremy. 41 cars were entered. 40 will start. A problem for the 27 for Forte Racing. They will not make the grid today. I've never seen so many Lamborghinis in one place in my life.
No, I don't think there have been any this many Lamborghinis in one place at one time, certainly not in this championship, and I don't think in any of the Lamborghini Super Trofeos that are around the world. Just look at that lineup there. It's absolutely astonishing. We've got four different classes, but everybody running exactly the same car. It's just by driver experience, effectively, that splits the class. We've got the pro class. We've got eight of those. We've got 11 pro-ams. We've got 12 running in the am category and 10 in LB Cup, which is basically people just starting out in the sport.
And you think about that, you said it, they all drive the exact same car. And I think when we get into this race, we're going to see that speed delta, that differential between the different class drivers come into play. And don't forget that WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca has a brand new surface. The first time since 2007, new asphalt has been put down. It is incredibly smooth, and that makes it incredibly fast, Jeremy.
Well, you know, that new surface just provided so much more grip for the drivers, and the cars always used to slide around here on that aging asphalt, but with this new surface it's become a different racetrack in many ways, and that all the drivers I've spoken to this weekend say it's really benefited this racetrack. It's already a wonderful place to come for all the reasons you just talked about, but now with so much more grip on the racetrack, you can really unleash the performance of the cars, and these Lamborghinis have plenty of performance. So lap records in qualifying, expect the same in today's race.
Looking at about 620 horsepower out of that Lamborghini V10, and that is a bunch of horsepower. Car a little bit heavy, you would expect it to be. It's about 2,800 pounds or 1,270 kilograms. Hankook tires on all four corners on all of the cars, and that tire has proven to be very, very consistent. It's a good, stable tire, and it's exactly what you want in a class like this where all of the cars are exactly the same. You've got a good, consistent, stable tire underneath all of these drivers.
Yeah, and this is going to be a fascinating race with so many cars on racetrack. I mean, there's a big discrepancy in terms of experience and ergo lap times as well from the front to the back of the field. But if we just go run through, we don't have time to go through the whole field, I don't think, in this race. But if we just talk about the pole sitters in each of the classes, Michael Staab has his first ever pole in the LB Cup class. He's running car number 48 for the Precision Performance Motorsports team. He will start 25th overall, which is a pretty good effort for somebody who's, again, relatively new to the sport. Quickest in AM class, that's once again, it's Glenn McGee. For the sixth time, he's on the pole position in the AM category. He will start 16th for the Wayne Taylor Racing with Andretti team. Quickest in Pro-AM, that's Andy Lee, who is going to start sixth in this field for Flying Lizard Motorsports in car number 14. You can't miss car number 14, that's the Sparkle Farts pink unicorn entry in number 14. But on the pole position overall is Patrick Liddy from Southern California for Forte Racing in car number 72, driving solo this weekend. He generally drives with Blake McDonald in the Pro-AM class, but Blake is racing elsewhere this weekend. And so he's given the opportunity for Patrick to drive solo. And Patrick was also on the overall pole here 2 years ago. This is his second overall pole, and he's looking to make hay and perhaps even score his first overall win for Patrick Liddy in that pole sitting car number 72.
Here we go. Field lined up. Two columns of Lamborghinis screaming towards the green flag. It waves. Patrick Liddy leads the field down. Danny Fromall on the outside in that bright red number one Lamborghini down to the Andretti hairpin. ABS and all of these machines, these drivers using it for sure. And wow, Danny Fromall got shuffled well back in the order, about back to fourth. Cars dropping wheels and will get it sorted out.
Fantastic. That was absolutely tremendous. I mean, Danny Fromall, he's just about an hour or so ago, he qualified on the pole for tomorrow's IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race, also in a Lamborghini. He left his braking super late down there at turn one, but carried in too much speed and lost a fair bit of momentum, and has allowed Patrick Liddy to maintain that lead and into second position. Uh-oh, we've got a spinner there.
Looks like the 50, I believe. They're off to the side. But, yeah, we saw that move by Danny Fromall, and that has allowed Nico Jamin and Gianno Torino to slip through the third and fourth place qualifiers. And this battle coming down the hill through turn nine, it is intense. The fans on the hill are going to get a look at it. Now Liddy gets shuffled back.
Wow, that's Gianno Torino. A brilliant effort there. That was a really full commitment there from Gianno, the South African-born driver, lives in Florida now, really impressive young man. And he was telling me just a little while ago that his qualifying run this morning was hampered by a red flag. He had more pace in the car. Well, he's showing it right now.
Andy Lee up to fourth in that bright pink number 14. That is the leader in Pro-AM as this battle continues in front. And for Andy Lee, for all of these drivers in the different classes, you really need to understand where you fit in. Who are you racing with? You don't want to get in a battle with someone in another class and risk your car, but at the same point in time, you don't want your competitors to close down because you get stuck. Take a look at this battle down the hill out of the corkscrew. Torino in that bright orange number 88 just slides it up the inside, and that forces Liddy out off the line. Liddy gets out there in the gray, has to check up just a little bit, and that's going to allow Jamin and Danny Fromall back through.
Yeah, that was full commitment there from Gianno Torino. What a bold effort that was. And he leads this race now. There's it would be a grassy moment on racetrack, on many racetracks, but here, of course, it's dirt. You don't get much traction on the dirt.
Things settling down just a bit. Man.
Yeah, in relative terms, absolutely.
Well, yeah,
right.
I mean, everything's relative, right, Jeremy? Settling down just a bit, especially up front. We've kind of gotten in lockstep, and now you got to think, a lot of these cars, 24 of them, in fact, that were entered, have a two-driver format. In all of the classes except Pro-Am, you can run a single driver or a two-driver format. 24 of the entries have a two-driver format. There is a mandatory pit stop in a pit window beginning 20 minutes in to 30 minutes into the race. You can use that window to make that mandatory pit stop. So if you're handing the car over to a teammate, you got to make sure you've left some hand-cooked tire on it for your teammates so that they can do battle.
Yeah, and how hard are they pushing? Well, the first flying lap is a new lap record. The old lap, the old race lap record was a 124.8. That was by Richard Antonucci way back in 2015. Well, the first flying lap there, a 124.228 for Giano Torino, our race leader. But he hasn't pulled away at all, has he? I mean, he's got a big, long train of cars behind him as well.
AJ Muss aboard the 66, locked in a good battle and really good fights all around this racetrack. And I think now, Jeremy, from a driver's perspective, you're 5 minutes in. Now you can kind of take a breath. You had that first initial skirmish there on the opening lap or two. Now get settled down. Now start working the plan that you and your team came up with. See what you can get before the pit stop. Take advantage when you can, but be smart to make sure you've got a car for the end of the race.
Are you kidding? These guys are going absolutely flat out at the moment. A new lap record there, 23.7 for Torino. That's a great effort. I mean, the fastest lap in qualifying this morning was a 122.9 for Blake McDonald. You see Raymond Davoudi there having a spin, one of the LB Cup contenders. That's probably going to bring out a full course. He's not going to get that car out of the gravel, I don't think.
Now, and that's the problem here when you drop off the surface, and it's not the right rear that's the issue, it's the left rear. It is down deep in the gravel. Take a look. This is the exit of turn 9, and he's got it until it rolls back off the racetrack. And a lot of time, the problem that you have with a car that has ABS in it is you can't lock up the brakes when it's rolling backwards like you would like to do at that low speed. That might have been able to keep him out of the gravel, and you called it, Jeremy. Double yellows are out at start-finish, indicating full course caution.
Yeah, well, now they can catch a breath, Brian. I mean, wow, that was an intense first few laps there in that race. And there was a fair bit of shuffling of position, but what a brilliant start that was from Giano Torino. I mean, I thought Patrick Liddy's start was pretty impressive. I mean, he nailed it down into turn one. He got his braking point exactly right, as Danny Formal just got a bit too optimistic on the brakes. But Giano Torino just charged on an opening lap, and that forceful move going into Rainwaney curve there, turn 9, and able to take away the lead, and that's where he is right now.
Well, and think about this too, Jeremy, for Danny Formal. You said it, just qualified on the pole in GTD for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race tomorrow. That GTD car has a lot more aerodynamic downforce on it than this Lamborghini Super Trofeo Huracan Evo 2. And I wonder if he just got in there and kind of used that same basic braking application and braking location that he'd been running in the GTD car without the aerodynamic downforce. Car just wasn't going to stop in time.
No, that's exactly right. Just a little bit too optimistic there, I think, particularly on cold or not properly heated up Hankook tires. So, nothing ventured, nothing gained. On a single category race, overtaking is difficult. So you need to kind of push hard early on if you're going to make any moves, because it's sort of a one groove racetrack. I mean, the optimum line is where most of the rubber has been laid down over the course of yesterday and today in the various practice and qualifying and even races that are taking place already this weekend. And you get offline and it's a lot less grippy. So in the multi-class races, it's a different story because you've got to go offline to either overtake or be overtaken. But here, in a race where everybody is running exactly the same car, there's really one optimal line. If you can keep on that from now on, that's going to be to your benefit.
Raymond Davoudi back underway after finding the gravel at the exit of turn 9. This is round 3 of the 2024 championship. Just the second weekend for the competitors in Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America. And what a place to come. And everybody was so excited to come to this racetrack with this brand new smooth asphalt on it. Laguna has always been a place that you wanted to come and race, but when it's got a brand new surface on it, Jeremy, that had a lot of people kind of chomping at the bit, so to speak, and they've been able to use it to their favor. But the word all weekend long I heard from every driver is commitment. With this new surface, the speeds from turn in to apex are so great, you have to believe, you have to be committed. you got to let the car roll in there, and it's so much faster than it was last year that it takes that level of commitment to get it done.
Well, it really does, and that's what we're seeing in this in the early stages of this race. I think thankfully there was no major incident there, and I think Raymond Davoodi has got that car back underway again. Did he lose a lap? He might well have lost a lap, perhaps, but at least he's back underway, and he lost one lap, I think. But as intense as it is, as closely matched as it is, and as good as this series is, to get 3.5 laps there of full-out racing right off the bat, I must admit I'm pleasantly surprised, because I was expecting various incidents on the opening lap, which didn't occur. So hats off to all of these Lamborghini drivers.
Absolutely. Andy Lee behind the wheel of that bright pink number 14 leads right now in the Pro-Am category. He'll hand that off to Slade Stewart, his teammate. When they do their mandatory stop, looking a little further back, find the number 69 leading in the AM category. So a good run there. Anthony McIntosh and Glenn McGee sharing the 69. And then in LB Cup, it's the number 48 that leads in that category. You said it earlier, Jeremy. Those are the least experienced drivers. That's Michael Staub behind the wheel of the 48 out of the Precision Performance Motorsports stable.
Yeah, and he's got a couple of AM cars in between himself and the second position in LB Cup. That's Ophir Levy in car number 13. And Nick Grote, who was very quick in the practice session yesterday, he's running third in LB Cup. But at the front of the field, all eyes now on John Otorino. He's going to be the car that leads back towards the green flag in this TR3 racing entry that is representing the Miami dealership. And all of these cars not only represent their teams, but also different dealerships around the country.
Here we go. Back at it. Green flag is going to fly. The acceleration zone there at the apex of the final corner. Gian Otorino was on it. We are back racing at WeatherTech Raceway. Lamborghini Super Trofeo down to the Andretti hairpin. The youngster leads. Gian Otorino behind the wheel of the bright orange number 88, running through what we call the infield here. They say turn three, still somewhat lower grip, and turn four, the next right-hand corner that they're going through right now, so much faster than it was before, and qualifying just to breathe off of the throttle. Five will take you up the hill, and then the next left-hand corner, turn six, sends you up to the corkscrew, and a problem for the 98, and again, this deep gravel is no one's friend. They say yellows breed yellows. And Jeremy, I think that's exactly what we're going to see. Oh, what a problem is that Liddy that's around.
It is coming out of turn six there, pointing the wrong way. Oh, it's going to drop right to the back of the field. Full course yellow is called once again. Two cars off the racetrack. And unfortunately, Sam Shee in that team. He's one of the AM contenders. He was originally slated for this season, Sam Shee, to run in LB Cup, because the first round of the championship at Sebring, about six, seven weeks ago, that was his first ever motor race in anything. But he was so fast that weekend, they bumped him up to the AM class and had a really good first weekend as well. Let's see what happened to Patrick Liddy. Oh. Yeah, just strayed a couple of wheels there over the edge of the racetrack at the exit of turn six, and around he goes. He's lucky there not to make any firmer contact with anything. Didn't hit a thing.
And this is why we are under full course caution for the second time. It wasn't Patrick Liddy. It is the 98 around and mired in the gravel. So we'll do it all over again. And this brings that 40 car field back together. I said it a minute ago, Jeremy, yellows breed yellows. It's an opportunity to gain a position, but it's also an opportunity to kind of throw it all away. And unfortunately for Patrick Liddy, he had that good speed coming out of six, but this new pavement in several of the corners, five, six, nine, I believe, there's extra pavement on the backside of the curb. The drivers are allowed to use that as long as they keep one tire on the curbing and everybody's using it. Problem is, at the end of that asphalt, it's nothing but sand. Patrick Liddy got the right rear wheel off, and that sent him around there at the exit of turn six.
Yeah, the asphalt has plenty of grip. The curbing painted curbing doesn't have much, and the sand has next to nothing. And when you're carrying that amount of speed through that turn six there at the not the top of the hill, but halfway up the hill, it's a really tricky corner. I mean, the entry is completely blind. You get down into a kind of a dip there, a bit of camber right at the exit, but then it throws you out again. There's off camber on the exit. It's a really tricky corner, and we've seen it time and time again that people will run right there. We've seen a lot already this weekend in the different sessions that are taking place. Unfortunately, caught out Patrick Liddy. He'll be kicking himself for that one, but he's not hit anything. He's able to rejoin towards the back of the field. Tell you what, the guy who was on the move in the early stage of this race is Jaden Conright in car number 15. He started in ninth place. He's now moving himself up to fifth. He moved up a place on the last lap. He got past the number 29 of Elias De La Torre, who's making his debut this weekend. Another youngster for TR3 Racing. But that world speed entry for Jaden Conright is really charging hard. That's car number 15. And he's just come off he finished fourth, I guess, in the Pilot Challenge race that took place just a little while ago this afternoon. He had a tremendous run there where he had to start last on the field and worked his way up to fifth, I think he was, before the round of pit stops. So he's had a busy afternoon already. That is Jaden Conright in car number 15.
Part of the IMSA Diverse Driver Development Program a few years ago, and I talked to him before the Michelin Pilot race, and we were talking about just focus on moving forward, be smart. That race, 2 hours long, you handed it over to a teammate, so kind of the same thing here, but much shorter, obviously, and did exactly what he needed to do there. He moved the car up steadily. He knew he had a good car underneath him. He was smart and moved it forward, and they ended up with a good finishing position. We'll see what he can do here in Lamborghini Super Trofeo.
Yeah, really impressive. And he's driving for that World Speed team. They're based up at Sonoma Raceway, so a local team, and he himself is from Fremont, California, in the Bay Area. So he's got some laps around here in the past, and he'll be sharing that number 15 car with Cam Aliabadi from San Francisco, who's also done well in his relatively few outings. He's only had 10 starts in this championship. Jaden's only done four. But Cam has shown really, really good speed. This is going to be his first race, however, for this World Speed team, and they're representing the Walnut Creek Lamborghini dealerships. You know, there's not only the drivers' championships in each of the four classes, there's also team championships and dealership championship as well.
98 coming down pit lane and to his pit stop. I'll take a look at the car and...
Or not.
Or not, yeah. Pit window is not open under yellow. I mean, we're in the time where pit window should be there. Oh, the 37, Jeremy.
Chris Tasker. Yeah, that's Chris Tasker, who's he had some sort of incident apparently under yellow. He got some damage to the rear end of that car. But that is off the road. That's down to turn two.
That's at the Andretti hairpin.
Yeah. Don't know.
This is going to be a difficult removal because you can't drive the safety trucks into the gravel or you'll have the same type of problem. And you can't pull it sideways more than likely with the rescue vehicle. So difficult situation here that puts big load on the car and obviously puts big load on the truck that's trying to move it.
Yeah, it does some creative thinking, I think, is going to be the only way they're going to get this car out of that position. It's not often you end up broadside at that point, you know, against the barriers there. But unfortunately, that's what Chris has found himself in, that Fly Alliance Lamborghini. He's switched teams for this weekend, running with TPC Racing, with which he made his debut last time out. He's a jet charter pilot himself, is Chris, amongst other things. He's also a professional baseball umpire in his spare time as well, and he's got his family has a pretty intense history in this sport, but in a very different form of it, because his cousin is NHRA standout Bob Tasker III.
And that's what I was concerned about with the tug on the side of the car. So they've got more work to do now getting the 37 out. And it's going to be interesting, Jeremy. As I said, the pit window does not open under full course caution. It's time for the pit window to be open. So the officials will have to decide what they want to do about that. And it doesn't take a big incident.
Another minute and a half, the pit window will open, or should open. It won't, yeah, as you say, because we're under caution. Any time between 20 minutes into the race and 30 minutes into this race. So you've got 20 minutes on either end and a 10-minute buffer zone in the middle in which everybody has to make those pit stops.
My apologies. I looked at the clock incorrectly. But you're right. It'll should open in about 56 seconds, but it will not open under full course caution.
Yeah, so well, hopefully we can get that car out of the way and get back to racing again. I mean, I think, yeah, these yellows are somewhat predictable with this many cars on the racetrack and such varying levels of experience, but hopefully we can get that this race underway again pretty soon.
And to give you an idea, now the 8 will be coming to pit lane, and I'm not sure if perhaps that was the car that was involved with Tasca. I don't know why you would be coming now, because obviously the pits are not open. This is
gravel plow.
Man.
Yeah, number eight car was running nowhere near Chris Tasca on the road. Number 8 car was running in 17th position overall. So not quite sure why he would have been making his way down the pit lane. That's Nate Stacey, one of the Pro-Am contenders.
Now I would imagine they're going to need to try to get a flatbed out to get Tasca's car up on that. And the 8 now headed behind the wall.
He is. Yeah.
That is rare. That is very rare in this series to see a problem put a car behind the wall. They are stout, they are robust, they're dependable, and they're wicked fast. In fact, these Lamborghini Huracan Super Trofeo Evo 2s are the fastest GT car here this weekend in a straight line. We talked about earlier less downforce than the GTD car that runs in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, and a whole lot of horsepower, about 620 horsepower, and in a straight line, they are wicked, wicked fast.
Yeah, they are. I mean, this car is based on the same GT3, GTD car that we see in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, but with less aerodynamic appendages. It's not as efficient aerodynamically as a GT3 or GTD car, but it has a larger engine restrictor, which by that I mean it gets more air into the engine, and air equals power. It's that combustion of the air and fuel that provides the horsepower, and this has more air going in and more horsepower coming out. These cars, as you say, are super quick on a straight line.
So this is interesting. I'm thinking about this recovery effort that's going on for Chris Tasca's car down in the Andretti hairpin. Expect to see it on a flatbed, and there's the flatbed. They'll get it up on the flatbed, but this is a time-consuming event as well. You can see the angle of the flatbed. The car's got to get up on it. You don't want to do any more damage to the vehicle than has already been done to it by the incident in itself. So that's going to take time, and what I'm seeing, Jeremy, or what I'm thinking is when we go back to green, then the pits would open and you could pit the next time. The second driver, if there is one, is not going to get a whole lot of time in the car. So when they leave the pit lane, they need to get the job done right now.
True, that is certainly going to alter the strategies for some of the teams. I mean, you can choose whichever of your two drivers is going to start the race in Pro-Am. If there's most of the cars, is a fairly big time difference between the Pro and the Am driver. So if your Pro has started the race, as is the case with Andy Lee, Jaden Conright, Luke Berkeley, Mark Miller, John Capestri Dubetz, they're the top five at the moment. All of those guys, they will stay in the car as long as they possibly can. So they'll wait until the window is just about closed before coming in to hand over to the AM driver. But if it's if the boot is on the other foot, so to speak, and the AM driver is at the wheel of the car, which is the case for, let's say, Wesley Slimp in car number 9, Tim Pappas in car number 54, running a little bit farther down the field, and AJ Must in car number 66, then they want to get their pro in as soon as they possibly can. So this plays to their detriment.
Brian Till, Jeremy Shaw with you. Round 3 of the 2024 Lamborghini Super Trofeo North America Championship. 2 races each weekend. Started the season at Sebring, and now we are on the West Coast. Gianno Torino leads in the pro category. Andy Lee leads it in pro-am. Glenn McGee in am, and Staub in the 48 in LB Cup. 3 different classes. All the cars exactly the same. And when you watch these Lamborghinis go by, you can tell which class they're in. Driver's right upper corner of the windscreen, there is a little triangle of a different color. The Pro is orange. Pro-Am is yellow. Am is green. And LB Cup is blue. And you'll also see a what I call a chiclet on the rear bumper with the same corresponding colors. So when the cars go by, you can get an idea. And what you're going to find, though, Jeremy, we see this all the time when we talk about knowing who you're racing with. There are Pro-Am cars up in the middle of the Pro category. There are Am cars in front of Pro-Am cars. And it all gets mixed up together. And you've got to be aggressive, but you've got to be smart. And those chiclets on the back of the car really help the driver that's behind ascertain who is that, what class is that, and do I really need to be racing this car that's in front of me right now?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, there's all sorts of little items of strategy that come into play during a race, and that's one of them. The timing of your pit stop is one, and also, as you say, knowing who you're racing with. I mean, for Andy Lee and Jaden Conright, they are battling together here in fourth and fifth position overall, but it's 3 pro cars ahead of them. Then they're both in the pro-am class. Right behind them is Elias De La Torre, who's another pro car. Then another pro-am is Luke Berkeley, and now, those are all things you've got to be mindful of. But for Gianno Torino right now, he'll be handing over that number 88 car to Ernie Francis Jr. for the second stint of this race. And that pairing, a brand new pairing this year, it was Ernie Francis' first ever ride in Lamborghini at Sebring with very little testing. They had a second position and a win in race 2. So they lead the championship by 1 point over Nico Jamin and Kiko Porto, who are currently running in second place in car number 4 for ANSA Motorsports coming into this weekend.
Lights out on the Lamborghini Huracan safety car. Going to go back to green. Yellows breed yellows. You need to keep it together because once the field passes, I would imagine the pit window will open. Drivers need to get back in line. The acceleration zone, restart zone starts right here. The leader can go at any time. A little gamesmanship. Gianno Torino on and off the brakes, kind of stacking up the field. Then he is on the throttle, and off we go. Green flag waves. Pit window is open.
Yeah, so next time by, anybody can come into the pits if they so choose. There is Danny Formal in car number 1, putting the pressure on Nico Jamin there from France. In second position in that black and red ANSA Motorsports car. And in fourth position behind them, the Pro-Am leader, that's Andy Lee.
Got to stay green, though, Jeremy, to get this field back around to the pit end so pit stops can happen. If we had to go full course caution again, that would be a problem. But the window is open, and I do like the fact that they opened it as soon as the field went by. And the reason is time's going to run. You don't want to wait until they come all the way back around. That would just push the window deeper into the race. So good job by the officials there. Window is open. We got to get the field around 2. Pit in. And Gianno Torino will have the first shot at it as he dives down off the corkscrew. How many takers? Danny Formal looks up the inside of the number 4 just in front of him. Man, to get a pass done in turn 9, that's a gutsy move. Formal takes the look, thinks better of it. Torino stays out. Jamin comes in. So does Danny Formal, the first 2 takers to pit road.
Yeah, and Andy Lee, the 2 Pro-Am cars now running in second and third. That's Andy Lee and Jaden Conrad. They've stayed out. Elias De La Torre came into the pits in caliber 29. He was running in the 6th position. And there's about as many takers as non-takers at this stage.
I would have thought we would have seen a few more cars in, but as you said, if your pro is out there right now, see if they can do something with that cleaner racetrack that's in front of them right now. That's what they're doing with Andy Lee, the one to the stop. No tires, no fuel. The teams will adjust tire pressures. And for driver combinations with two drivers, it is an 84-second minimum from pit in to pit out. If it's a single-driver format, 3 seconds longer. You've got to have an 87-second stop from, and it's not the stop, it's an 87 seconds from pit in to pit out. And I like that rule, Jeremy. We've talked a lot about it over the years. If it's a single-driver format, that driver knows the tire, knows the car. He will not have to get up to speed. It's just a little pause in their on-track action. So I like that 3 second longer for single-driver formats.
Yeah, I do too. It didn't work out last year too well for Ryan Norman because he was running solo. He'll be sharing that number one car with Danny Fulbal this weekend. You see, look to the inside there. Oh, it doesn't quite come off. But last year, Ryan Norman was driving solo, and he was against dual driver cars. And the dual driver cars, though, at their pit stop every time, was 3 seconds faster. So Ryan Norman led a bunch of laps overall, but on each occasion, pretty much, he was overtaken during a pit stop. So this year, he's got smart. He's got a co-driver. Not only any co-driver, it's the guy who's won the championship last 2 years in a row. Oh, no, there's the AM leader. That's number 69 car that was in last time around for Glenn McGee to hand over to Anthony McIntosh, but he's come to a halt there down in turn one.
Yeah, that is odd. He left pit lane, and McIntosh gets down there and then just pulls off to the side. Odd, because driver change would have happened. I wonder if the belts were just loose and needed to get something done. It's refired, back underway. So a little bit of a hiccup there, and we can kind of breathe now because at least that incident is not going to bring out a full course caution.
True that, and yeah, it must have been some sort of an electrical glitch perhaps there for number 69. It cost him some time, but both Glenn McGee and Anthony McIntosh are super fast, so we'll see whether they can bounce back from that one.
Yeah, that was odd, and like I said, it could have been something as simple as belts or something like that had come loose, and he needed to get them sorted out. So it's the same driver pairing that won the AM Championship in 2023, so very experienced group. Now Gianno Torino is in the 88.
He is indeed. So he'll hand over that car to Ernie Francis Jr. And that will put Luke Berkeley into the lead in car number 64, the overall lead at least. He's got Keon Tandon right behind him, and then John Capestro Dubetz, all nose to tail, all running in the Pro-Am class. So they are the pro drivers for that, for those particular cars, and they will stay out. Jake Walker runs next, who's running in pro. Who's that off the road?
I didn't think they survived that, Jeremy. I think that was the bright gold entry there of Shihan Chandrasoma or his teammate. I'm not sure who's in it right now. I'd have to see it, but the big wheel drop at the exit of turn four. Nico Rieger behind the wheel of the 21 right now, and the way it looked when all that dust kicked up, I thought they were going back to the right. But Nico Rieger manages to save it, and he may have caught his breath by now.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been a heart-in-the-mouth moment there for Sheehan, that's for sure. More people ducking into the pit lane. A little while for everything to shuffle out. 17 laps completed by the leaders.
Top seven cars on the racetrack have yet to pit. So things have not cycled through just yet. We'll have a better understanding of how it's all going to fit as we watch these lead cars come in, and a problem for the 55 around in the hairpin.
He's managed to find a gap and get going again.
It's just always so dicey to be around there, isn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah, it certainly is. That is, a major heart-in-the-mouth moment.
Keon Tandon behind the wheel of the 55, top of the screen. backwards when he comes into view, but sharing that car with Lane Valcala out of 47 Motorsports Stable, Lamborghini of Greenwich on the side of it, and that's the other thing that's important. It's not just driver championships, team championships, but also dealer championships on the line. Lamborghini dealerships from around the country involved with this in their support of different teams and drivers. And look at this, the number one in a big-time battle right now with the 14. Slade Stewart now behind the wheel of the 14. Danny Fermall still behind the wheel of the number one. And so for Slade Stewart, there's that understanding once again, Jeremy, of, okay, what class am I in? Who is this trying to go by me? How hard am I going to fight? He knows that that was the number one of Fermall in the pro category. There's no reason to fight with him. Let him go. That's better for both of you.
Yeah, that's right. And here is Luke Berkeley then, at number 64 car. It'll be, this is running in the Pro-Am class, and Garrett Adams will be driving the car from here to the finish. They had a pretty challenging first round of the championship, but they've been running well in this race. They stayed out and led a couple of laps actually for Luke Berkeley before he brought that car onto the pit lane.
Interesting. It's showing Danny Fermall behind the wheel of the one, but the number one is shown to have made a pit stop, so that should be Ryan Norman that's in there. Is that correct?
Indeed so, yes. And there's a kind of a driver plug, if you like, that the drivers have to switch when they get in or out of the car, and clearly they didn't do so. So the team will be on the phone now to Danny Fermall. I think maybe it's taking place now, because Ryan Norman is showing up finally as the driver at number one car. But it's Kiko Porto, I think, that is going to be leading the race.
Ooh,
overall.
That's now a late move into 11. Couldn't quite get the car number on that bright yellow Lamborghini that dove down into the inside. I think it may have been the 55. Lance Valcala, no, the 65. Wonder, the spotter's guide that I'm looking at, perhaps they changed the number and changed the class, but that was a late, late move into 11. And I've always said, if you have to move out of the way when somebody's passing you to keep the crash from happening, you don't take very kindly to it. And I think that's exactly what we saw there in turn 11, where the other car slid out of the way to let Ray Shahi by. And now a problem for the 13.
Yeah, that's Ophir Levy, who is running second position in LB Cup behind Michael Staub. That Ophir Levy is off the road. It looks like he's found reverse and he's able to continue. Yes, indeed he is. That's good news. So we're going to stay under green here. And I think we just saw the last two contenders into the pit lane, number 46 and 47. That's John Capestro de Betz in car number 46 and Dominic Starkweather in car number 47. Dominic is driving solo in this race. JCD will be handing over the car to Tom Capizzi for the second stint. And in the meantime, the new leader once again now is indeed Kiko Porto. So Ryan Norman in second position, 5 seconds behind. And then Ernie Francis, who's took over from Jarno Torino, but a slow pit stop. Just looking at the pit stop times, 1 minute 28 for the number 88 car, 1 minute 24 for the number 4.
Oh! There's a replay of a little push and shove down in 11. The 98 flashes through and then comes back on the racetrack. And I don't know if that was an aggressive move because he was unhappy, or if it was just a, hey, I need to get back on the racetrack and didn't see the other competitor there. But anyway, you look at it, contact between two very expensive cars down there in turn 11, that last lap, Jeremy.
Yeah, you never like to see that, do you? That's for sure.
Sam Shee aboard the 98, and looked like he just left his braking a little bit late it's easy to be brave going into turn 11 because it looks like you've got this massive concrete pad in front of you if you make a mistake, but it'll sneak up on you and bite you, and then as you try to re-enter the racetrack, you can have a big-time problem. Good racing going on down through the hairpin. Different classes represented there. And now pushing and shoving again. That's the 65 yet again in turn 11. And you've got to wonder if the officials aren't going to start looking at this and say, hang on a second. Again, if you're knocking people out of the way to get by, have to see what the officials say about that.
Yeah, that's Ray Shahi in number 65, making his debut this weekend for Forte Racing. He's an ex-airline pilot, actually, is Ray, and he's gone quite a few years in the Porsche Sprint Cup Series and quite a lot of success there, but making his debut in Lamborghinis this weekend, absolutely loving it. Spoke to him yesterday, and he's just over the moon to be here in this championship. He's been talking about it for a while and loving every moment.
Nick Grote got the worst of that. Meanwhile, the 24 moving forward. That beautiful livery that Ron Atapatu and Kevin Madsen have aboard the 24 from Ansa Motorsports, that red, white, and blue. And Ron Atapatu, I think he is the most experienced Lamborghini Super Trofeo driver in North America. Is he not, Jeremy? I mean, he started, I believe, the first season Lamborghini Super Trofeo ran here in North America, was out for a while, and then came back a couple of years ago. Absolutely loves it. And think back to last year. He and Kevin Madsen had a great run here.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And they've had success, certainly, and he's been around a long time, as you say. I mean, his debut in this championship was back in 2019, I think. But he's had 25 starts in the series, and as you say, super enthusiastic. And that car is that's another car that you can't miss.
45 there, Rob Walker, a little bit of contact, but the 65, they have not been playing nice together. We've seen the 65 involved in several different incidents. Around he goes as race 8. He drops a wheel at the exit of turn 3 after a little push and shove with Rob Walker.
Oops.
And again, you don't want to be stranded there. You want to get it refired and get back underway. Take a look. There's a little bump and run earlier, and then a little contact there. I don't think the contact is what turns Shahi around, though. I think he just gets out there and probably gets in the throttle. The bump is right there. Car still is underneath him, and then all of a sudden gets out in the gray just a little bit, commits back to the throttle, and around it goes.
Yeah, just a little bit, too confident there was Ray. I mean, he's put offline a little bit there. There was a bit of contact, wasn't there, was that Rob Walker? Was alongside him? Yeah, I think it was in car number 45. And Ray there, I think, I got it. But as you say, he's off the racing line there, and there's a lot less grip off the racing line than there is on it. And that's what caught him out. And these cars, as he was talking to me yesterday, they got lots of horsepower. As you say, 620 ponies in these Raging Bulls. And Ray probably could have done with about 600 rather than 620, I think, when he put the power on coming out of turn 3.
Six-speed sequential gearbox do have traction control, 9 different settings, but the traction control does not work off throttle. It's not stability control like a lot of street cars have. It literally is just keeping the wheels from spinning. And a lot of times, speaking to drivers today in the paddock, running those traction control settings down really low at about a 2. So if you do jump in the throttle, you can get it around. And another driver dropping a wheel there at the exit of 6. You just get it off the backside of the curb and then in the dirt off that little asphalt apron and around you go.
Yeah, into some traffic now for our race leader, Kiko Porto, young Brazilian driver. I'll tell you what, he's a star. He was outstanding in the open wheel ranks. He's from Brazil, from Recife in Brazil. He won the USF 2000 championship a couple of years ago and won a scholarship of about $400,000 to move on to the next level in USF Pro 2000. He was fast there as well, but the money kind of dried up a little bit in terms of open wheels, so he's got the opportunity now in sports cars with Ansa Motorsports, which has given a lot of great drivers opportunities over the years. And he was absolutely outstanding was Kiko Porto at Sebring, doing the same here as well, pulling away from the rest of contenders. Ryan Norman in second place in Calibre 1, and Ernie Francis is right behind him in Calibre 88. But that long pit stop for the number 88 car cost that pairing dearly.
Understand that the 45 of Rob Walker is getting a drive-through penalty, and I don't know if it's for the incident that we just saw, but he'll have the drive-through penalty. Meanwhile, the car that was on the march was Kevin Madsen on the way forward. We were talking about the 24, that beautiful red, white, and blue livery, has been charging forward, now up to six, having a great, great drive, and a problem for the 21 there. They've got that sorted out and back underway. Look at this.
This is an action.
What do you think
race,
a Lamborghini mirror costs, Jeremy?
Yeah.
That one just got turned up. That's awesome stuff.
Fantastic racing going on here. Oops, there's a spin again for the Nico
Rega.
That
was just last lap. We saw it happen live, and that was the replay of it. But, you know, with 40 cars out on the racetrack, and there are a lot of hand-cooked tires that are being dropped in the dust, Jeremy, I would think that the racetrack is difficult right now. It's certainly not the track that you started with. It will evolve throughout. You think about the incidents that we've seen, and obviously these hand-cooked tires have been being punished for the last 45 minutes. So got to really try to stay on top of these changing conditions right now.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on here in this race, isn't there? But Kiko Porto, he's well out front now. He's got a lead of about 6 seconds in that Ansa Motorsports car number 4, carrying the colours of the Broward at Lamborghini dealership. And I can say they lead the points coming into this weekend. But there's battles all the way up and down this field, particularly for second position, though, between the number 1 and the number 88. But in the other classes, Slade Stewart still leads in Pro-Am in a car number 14. That's the number, Flying Lizard entry, the yellow flag. I think it's a local yellow at the moment at the Andretti hairpin for that spinning car number 65 again. That's Ray Shahi. In Am, it's Cole Kleck who's taking the lead and making his debut this weekend. Another youngster in the number 28 car for Alliance Racing. He's running in the 12th position overall in car number 28. And in LB Cup, it's Michael Staab in car number 48 for Precision Performance Motorsports that's led from the beginning, from the green flag, from the pole position in car number 48.
So we know that 45 has been called for incident responsibility. That was with the 65. We also have a couple of short pit stops that will have time penalties attached at the end of the race. And I would imagine race control has been busy, Jeremy, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I'll say. We're down now to, 3.5 minutes remaining in this race. So another couple of laps, certainly. Possibly three. We're halfway around the 27th lap, and it's been an absolutely intense race for everybody. I mean, even for Kiko Porto, who's got a 6 second lead at the moment, he's constantly having to work his way through some of the slower cars as well, so it's not an easy run even for him out front.
Kevin Madsen
is Michael Staab.
Yeah, Kevin Madsen is on a charge. He's now up to fifth. We were talking about him and Ron Atapatu in the AM category. They are charging forward. Madsen having a great run. And as you said, a good look at the leader in LB Cup, Michael Staab. Just doing what he needs to do, hitting his marks. Been watching him online throughout the sessions, just finding time as he goes. And it pays off because he's leading in LB Cup right now.
He is, and has been all the way through. There's Rob Walker, another problem for him. The other guy that's charging hard is Scott Huffaker in car number 22. That's the second of the world speed entries. And he's up into fifth place overall now, Scott Huffaker, making his first time out in the pro class.
See what happens to Rob Walker. He gets high in nine out there in the gray. And we saw this before. The inability to lock the tires in a spin like that and the car rolls slowly backwards and now mired in the gravel. A problem for the 42 as well. Not exactly sure. That's in turn five. Oh, there's cars coming. Oh, and punishes it over the apex curb to get out of the way.
I want out of here.
Yeah, I don't blame
him. Adrian Kunzel there in the MLT Motorsport entry. He's, I want out of here. I don't want to be standing right there in the middle of the racetrack. So he just floored it. Unfortunately, the full course yellow is out, which almost certainly means the group will finish under full course caution. Some people are happy with that and some people not so happy, but I tell you what, it's been a tremendous motor race, and Kiko Porto looks like he's going to score his second win in three starts in this championship.
Airtime for Adrian Kunzel aboard the 42, and I'm sure the team will take a good close look at the underside of that Lamborghini Huracan after this event is over with. You called it, full course caution is out, so we'll end under full course caution, I am sure. Kiko Porter pleased to see that, Jeremy. You think they took the victory in the opening round at Sebring, he and Nico Jamin, and now they'll add another victory to it if they can make it around behind the safety car.
Yeah, that's
I don't give anybody the victory until they make it around, Jeremy.
Well, that's the point, yeah. I mean, he's got to take the checkered flag. The 20-year-old Brazilian has been another brilliant performance here by him and the team. I mean, they nailed their pit stop. The minimum pit stop time was 84 seconds. Their pit stop time from in to out was 84 seconds. A second quicker than the number one team, which is a two-time defending series champion, and a full 4 seconds quicker than Ernie Francis in Calibre 88. And I think number 88 car stayed out a couple of laps longer on its first stint, but it didn't pay out in its favour because Kiko Porter got behind the wheel at the earliest opportunity. They came in the lap after the full course caution, taking over from Nico Jamin, and got his head down right away and has made up good ground when he got back on the racetrack while the number 88 car was on the pit lane.
Can tell you where the party in the paddock is going to be, and that's going to be at Flying Lizard Motorsports, because the 14 of Slade Stewart, Andy Lee, leads in the Pro-Am category. They make it around to the checkered flag. That would be their first win in the Pro-Am category. Obviously, Slade Stewart knows how to win. He's won a championship before, but in Pro-Am, he and Andy Lee last year, fifth in the championship, only one podium finish. They worked so hard in the offseason to get better. Slade Stewart certainly has, and there is the checkered flag. It falls for Kiko Porter and Nico Jamin. They take the victory. Preston Buckley with the big wave of the checkered flag. He'll celebrate just as much as the competitors do. Love the animation there in the flag stand. But I was talking about Slade Stewart and Andy Lee. That will be a huge celebration for them. They were fourth in the championship coming in, and they did have a podium in the second round at Sebring. But this is big, big, big for Andy Lee and Slade Stewart. And for Stewart to be behind the wheel when the checkered flag falls, that's going to make this moment even that much sweeter.
Very, very true. And, he was the LB Cup champion, as you say, a couple of years ago for the Flying Lizard Motorsport team. He brought on last year Andy Lee to drive with him, not only coach him, but actually drive with him as well. And as you say, they had some success last season. I mean, Andy Lee had an overall pole position, but this is a really fine run today by Slade. He took the car from Andy Lee in the lead and kept it there, and that's a big feather in Slade Stewart's cap. Really, really nice job by Slade there. He's a great personality, and he'll be absolutely thrilled, as of course will his daughter, who designed that livery on that number 14 car.
Kleck with the victory in AM LB Cup. Michael Staub, we talked about Michael earlier, brother of Lamborghini Super Trofeo driver David Staub. His first ever Lamborghini Super Trofeo event was at Sebring in the opening round of the 2024 season, so good stuff there.
Yeah, and several first-time winners here. The AM class, tremendous job there by Cole Kleck in the number 28 car for Alliance Motorsports, making that Alliance Racing, that team based in the Indianapolis area, making its debut this season, and to come away with a win in just its second race, the very first race for the 17-year-old Cole Kleck, who's from San Antonio, Texas, is really, really impressive. He finished overall in 13th position in that car number 28, and that's a great effort by that whole team. And in the LB Cup, it's a Michael Staab led from start to finish in car number 48 for Precision Performance Motorsports.
Saw Slade Stewart inside that number 14 waving at the corner workers. That car, obviously a fan favorite, paint scheme designed by his daughter, and they just have fun racing, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it was today. We didn't like the yellow flags that we saw, but we saw some great racing as well. Everybody did. Now it's time for a snack. Settle down afterwards. We still have another round to go. Round four of the 2024 season up tomorrow from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Jeremy Shaw will be with me. Brian Till, once again, we'll be back for more action from WeatherTech Raceway tomorrow. Make sure you join us.
This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.